Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Amen. Let's pray tonight. Blessed be your name, Father, tonight. We worship you, we adore you. Thank you for your kindness towards us. And thank you for your presence that is always going to be with us. Thank you for tonight, I pray. Lord, you will speak to our hearts, you affect our lives. And Lord, again, you will help us to walk worthy of the calling for which we have been called. And that we will take heed unto ourselves also. Allow ourselves to be approved of God. That we endeavor to go according to how you want us to go and to live our lives according to how you want us to live our lives. Thank you for your presence tonight. I know somebody is leaving tonight blessed, wise, wiser, no more knowledgeable even before they leave here tonight. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Yes. You may be seated. All right, so we're looking at you must grow. I have come across people in my time here in Guyana who, if they happen to touch on a subject that they expect somebody who was not born here not to know, sometimes as they're talking, they ask, how long have you been here? Then when I tell them how long I've been here, they say, oh, yeah, but maybe it means you should understand what I'm talking about. I say, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, 11 years in Guyana, I know a lot more than I knew the first time I came around. How many understand the equation? Yeah. 1 year in Guyana, because when I came and the church started in 2005, and I was doing visitation, 2006, we were going around with Pastor Isan, we were going around, you know, places. And all the places, I come home late in the night because that's how I was born, that's how I was trained. Come home late in the night. Not knowing it was those days that there were still a bit of the after effects of the Phantom Squad. So people were still being shot here and there and all of that. And the place was very dangerous. But me, I didn't know. So I go out and I come in late. Because for me, it's just like a normal country. But for somebody who has lived here for more than 10 years will know that, hey, you can't be out at late in the night because you can easily be shot or be killed. True or correct? But because I didn't know anything about no Phantom Squad, I never knew about anything about Phantom. If you tell me Phantom, Phantom is some opera something, Phantom of the Opera. If you've seen that that thing before, yeah, Phantom is a zombie. Phantom is something different. So see, there were phantoms. I will never understand what you are trying to tell me. But as I've lived around, I've gotten to know things. Then I know somebody was called Roger Khan. Then I read and I get to know a lot. In a similar way, now I even know more about Guyana than you. You see, it tells me that we are not prone to growth. Now, I was away and I heard some people came here trying to ask for some things, and then it became not such a nice story. You know, the police came around and all kinds of things I heard. Now, it has made me, I'm now reading the Constitution. I want to know my rights. I just heard that, there's something called police, 1601 or 16 something about the authority of the police. I'm reading that one too. I'm going to read all of that. Because all that they tell you, they want you to do. Whatever they say, they want you to follow. Because they are the ones with the gun. They are the ones with the blue and black. So you got to do everything they say you must do. They'll tell you are resisting arrest. How can you take somebody to the police station and say the charge is because the person's mouth is hot? How can you say something like that? it tells me that you just want people to just shut their mouths. That people should just do whatever you want them to do, whether it's right or wrong. But that's the thing. So as I live in Guyana, I get to know more. I'm following the budget. Are you following the budget? The VAT they've reduced and the VAT they've brought to water bill and light bill. The income tax that they are raising for people with more than 2 million a year, and those, you have to follow that. If you don't get yourself into things like that, you will not even, that's why in the kingdom of God, we don't grow. Because we don't endeavor to get to know more. We don't endeavor. But the Bible says, but you must grow. You must grow. You see, if you don't grow, you are disgracing God. I said, if you don't grow, you are disgracing God. Because there's nothing about God that is like a midget. The things of God are always big. I mean, if indeed God is with us here as a church, you see that as we started in 2005, by the time we die, and if God is really with us, you see that from nothing, we have become something. That is a sign that God is with us. There must be growth. You see, when I didn't know that this small fence we did is a sign of so many things to some of the common people who walk around here. But you have not seen anything at all. Because as long as the Lord will give us opportunity, the church of God must grow. It must grow in structures. It must grow in numbers. It must grow in things. Oh, I was the only one with a vehicle when the church started. But it's not like that anymore. Because when it comes to the kingdom of God, and we go to Matthew chapter 13. Let me show you that scripture there. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 31. Matthew 13 and 31. I'm glad Joel is in the church tonight. So I'm preaching nice tonight. Yeah. Man must come so that I'll preach all the time nice like that. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. If you need glasses to see or identify a mustard seed, the Bible says that the kingdom of God, that is God and the angels and everything that prevails in the kingdom of God, the Bible says it is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And verse 32 says that, which indeed is the least, 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, somebody say grown, it is the greatest among herbs. So the kingdom of God, the character of the kingdom in whatever nature it is that it is small. That is why in the kingdom of God or in the church, you should not despise small things. You should not despise small people. Like when I invited late Pastor Karen to come to church in 2007, I met her at the Western Union in town. I invited her to come to church. I think, did you say you would think about it or something? She said, she told me something. So I called her. I was behind her for about 3 weeks before she joined the church. But anytime I call her, and she'll tell me that, oh, she's busy. No, she has a son. And when the son comes back from school, she has to help the son do homework. And therefore, she doesn't have time. People have very flimsy excuses. Oh, any reason why you can't come to church is a flimsy excuse. Because her son, Akil Castello, will come from school and do his homework. Karen said she can't come to church. So I said, what about Sunday? He said, she'll try. Hey! So 3 weeks later, one Sunday morning, we were in church. I saw somebody riding with a bicycle, motorbike. There's somebody behind her. I said, hey, she has come finally.
Now, Akil Castillo was very small then. You would not have predicted that he will be pursuing a pastoral training program now, full time. You can't despise small things in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God always comes in small. It's a little prayer you pray. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. It sounds like very, very frivolous. It sounds like something that is not so important. But if you give it what you must give it, a time will come you realize that, hey, 10 years ago, I gave my life to Christ. Look at where I am today. If you do not grow, you are disgracing the kingdom of God, because it cannot be that you are in the kingdom or the kingdom is in you and then it is not growing in you. That's what Peter said, but grow in grace. So we are looking at you, how you become a Christian and how you have grown. If you don't grow, you are a disgrace to God. If you don't grow, you are going to be an opposition leader. Here, Barat said, this is the worst budget he's ever. You never see, when you don't grow, you never see anything good. If you don't grow, you never see anything nice about the church. You will always be company with people who say bad things about the church, who be saying bad things about pastors. You will always be in the wrong company because you are not growing. But I can tell you of my experience and what has brought me where I have come this far. It's because of the God, the church, and the pastor I have. That's how come I've come the way I am. That you cannot belittle the importance of God, the church, and the pastor. You cannot. No matter what somebody will say, or no matter whatever will happen anywhere. It's God, it's his church. And God works through his church. And he works through the representative he has put over his church. You can't ignore that and do well. You can't bypass that and do well and say, oh no, now you got to read the Bible for yourself. You can't trust pastors. Try and read the Bible for yourself. Let's see. I said, try and read the Bible for yourself. You think this is an online course? You think this is a long distance training? You think this is an institute of distance and continuous learning? That's not how it is. You can't take away what God has established. You know, so you must grow. You must grow in your understanding. You must grow in your knowledge of God. When a subject comes up in God and in church, you should have good knowledge about it. When it comes to tithe, you should know why you tithe and what is tithing. You should know that. If it comes to speaking in tongues, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So last week, we looked at the fact that the word of God is what brings growth. You see, the word of God is like a seed. The Bible says, sower went out to sow. As for the seed, it will grow. As I ask for the seed, it will grow. The potential in any seed is for it to grow. It is in it. It is internal. It is embedded. You cannot see a seed and take away growth. If you see seed, you see growth. If you see seed, you encounter seed, and there's no growth, there's something wrong about the environment. Should I say it again? I said, wherever you see or you encounter seed, and there is no growth, there's something about where the seed is at. In other words, as I'm preaching, as the word of God is coming, seed is being sown in your life. If the seed does not grow, then it is you who is not making the seed grow. Because the sower went out to sow. Some of the seed fell on the roadside. Are you a roadside? Some Christians are roadside Christians. Because when the word of God comes into them, there's no effect. There's no effect. You've been hearing one message upon one message after one message, but you have not been able to rise up to that message. You are like a dry desert, a roadside. Some people are also like what? They're like thorns. The seed is sown among thorns. Yes, it gets access to a soil and it begins to pop up. But when it comes up, the things that... are around the seed, and the things that make some greater sense than the seed are able to suppress the seed and kill it. The Bible calls it the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. There's a rocky soil. Some people are like rocky soil. The word of God comes. The soil, rocky soil, has some earth, but then it just grows a little bit and that's it. But there's a fourth type of soil that you must be. I said you must be the fourth type of soil into which a seed is sown, and the potential and the nature of the seed comes up and you see it really as it is. If we see you and we can't see really who and how God works, then there's something wrong, my dear. Your life must be an explanation and it must be a testimony of how and what God can do. The Bible says we have been called forth to show his praise. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. We have been called to show forth his praise. Can you give me that scripture? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It means that the praises that will go to God should and must come out of you and I. When we look at you, God must be praised. When we look at your actions and how you have come, how far you have come, God will receive the praise. That we are supposed to show forth the praise of God. If you don't have anything good to show, if you don't have anything good to say, God cannot be praised. God cannot be praised if something good is not happening with you and with your Christian life. How can we attribute something substantial to the God we serve when nothing is happening in your life? So you must be born again. And when you are born again, you must grow. You must be a newborn, baby Christian. You must, you know, struggle a little bit. But, you know, you must creep. You must learn to sit down. Your backbones must become strong so you can sit down. Then you must learn to what? To creep, isn't it? And then you must learn to stand and be holding some things. And then you must learn to take some few steps. You must learn. And the time comes, you must be able to walk. And then sometimes you walk, but you can't run. It's not everybody who can walk and run. But the time comes when you can walk and you can run on top of it. You have to go through all those stages to become a solid Christian so that the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light will be made evident. It comes through the word of God. And we say that you must do your quiet time. Ask the person sitting there, did you do your quiet time today? What did they say? Yeah. I learned about equations today in the Bible. I felt, yeah, equations. Yeah. Equations. I was very excited. Equations. Yeah. Simultaneous equations. There's everything in the Bible, if you have eyes to see. There's everything in the Bible. So if you don't apply yourself to your quiet time, reading your Bible every day, you will not grow. So we spoke about quiet time, isn't it? And we spoke about reading your Bible also. And then studying your Bible. Did we look at studying as well? What else did we do? We said there are different forms of the word. The word of God is like a meal. It's not just rice only. We have plain rice and we have fried rice. We even have shine rice. That's more anointed. So rice comes in different forms. So food or the word of God should not just only be the Bible. It must be, of course, it's the Bible, the quiet time, a little bit of it in the morning. You know, you can't eat too much in the morning. You eat a little bit of the scriptures. And then you have to spend time in reading also. You read your Bible. You must read your Bible. And then you must study the Bible also. That's also another way. You have to study, sit down, spend hours. We don't have hours these days to study the Bible. We have seconds. We have minutes. No hours. But if we don't spend hours in the scriptures, we cannot grow. So quiet time, Bible reading, Bible study. And you must also listen to preaching. You must listen to preaching. You must play preaching messages. Listen to preaching. Listen to preaching. It's another way of eating the word. You must watch preaching videos. Not only African moods. Yeah, not only movies. Not only Chinese movie and Korean movies. You must watch videos. Read Indian movies. You can watch Indian movie from night to morning. Once you know you are not working tomorrow, you watch movies. No, you should watch preaching videos. If you go to YouTube, you can find anything, including how to commit suicide. But you must know what you are looking for on YouTube. Don't just go there and say, okay, so what can I see? Then you just, no, what is trending? And then you see, no. You must go there with a purpose. I'm looking for preaching. I'm looking for a preacher. I'm looking for a good preacher. You get messages upon messages. You can't finish eating. You cannot finish eating. So watch videos of pastors preaching. You must watch those things. Amen. You must read books. There are books. You must read them. How you can be in the perfect will of God. Buy books and read them. Read books. The word of God is also kind of dished out in even a nicer form in books. Because when you read the Bible, most of the time, you may not get some revelations. God has gifted people. God has blessed people with revelations. And they have, written them in books. Books are another means of also learning and eating. So if you don't do your quiet time, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't study your Bible, if you don't listen to messages, if you don't watch word videos, you don't read books, you are starving your spirit. I say you are starving your spirit. And you are actually causing people to despise church, to despise Christianity, to despise the God with whom nothing goes down but goes up. Since God created man, he just created one man, one woman. That was it. All of us have come through that. It's increase. If Eve could not do what God created her to do, we won't be here today. If your mother couldn't or cannot do what God has created in her to do and your father, you wouldn't be here today. So we can't stifle growth. And if you look at it, even in natural sense, even in Guyana, in our culture, it's very fantastic. How some men, I think it's 99% of the men, if not 100, want to see you give birth before they ever think of marrying you. Yeah. 90. Okay, you are part of the 0.1, right? Yeah. You'd be surprised. I said you'll be surprised. That is our culture. If you don't make children for me, how can I know that when I married you, you could give me something? That is how men think here. Most men think here in Guyana. So even the common, normal, sinful, glory, short-falling man wants growth and increase before he can commit himself. How much more the kingdom of God? How can you live in the kingdom and not grow? Then in fact, you actually are respecting even human man, a sinful man above God. So you must grow. You have no excuse not to grow. If you join this church and you stay in this church and after 6 months, after 1 year, you don't grow, there's something wrong about you. There's something wrong with you. You must read your Bible and grow. The next thing, second thing that will help us to grow is praying. Prayer. Many Christians don't pray, including pastors. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. You must grow. You look at yourself even normally as a human being. if you had stayed just as you were when you were 6 months old, as you are 20 years, and you still have the body of a six-month-old baby. Even a midget will have some hope. Because if you at 25 years old, you are still you have the body of a six-month-old baby. I mean, your intestines, I don't know where your intestines will fit. Everything will be sorted out in your stomach like that. You'll not be healthy. You'll be a little man, right? You'll be like that. 6 months, 25 years old, and you are like that. You'll be laughed at. People make fun of you. Do you know that? That's why the devil makes fun of some people. The demons come and they make fun of you. They say, hey, you say you're a Christian. Slap her. And then they'll slap you. They'll say, oh Lord, oh Lord. They'll say, slap her again. Yeah. Many Christians, demons make fun of them because they have not grown. They are little men and little women in the spirit. When they look at it, they say, where's that midget? Go and take away the midget's money. Let's joke with the midget a little bit. And they come, they take your money away. And so, are you going to church? I ain't see me way. Are you going to church? I ain't see me way. Satan has come. They say, midget money has been taken away. Yeah. Yeah. Christians complain like that. I've gone to church. I've been going to church. I've been serving God, but I'm not seeing my way. Because you are a midget. And when the devil comes and sees a midget like that, say, okay, go, take money from his account. Let's see how he'll behave. And they'll take the money, and then when you are restless, and they'll be laughing, you say, ha, 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 look at that. Laugh at you because you are a midget. That you are growing in the name of Jesus. I see you growing and bouncing in the Lord. In the name of Jesus. For bodily exercise profits little. But godliness, in other words, spiritual exercise, is profitable unto all things. To be godly means to be very and highly active in things that are close or around or surrounding God. That's why I say, to simply understand it, it is the comparison between bodily exercise and then spiritual exercise. Because he said, for bodily exercise profits little, then you have a colon. It means he's explaining what he's trying to do. So he brings back godliness, which is comparing godliness to physical exercise, which means that physical exercise against spiritual exercise. That's what it is. Very simple equation. He said, that is profitable unto all things. Having promise. If you engage in spiritual exercise, it has promise for the life that now is, this life, and of that which is to come. So, not only should we wear our tights and show our things inside our tights with our boots and go to the seawall, the ladies, and your things shaking behind you, not only should we be engaged in those things, but we must also be engaged in the spiritual exercises. See how the ladies are. I see them going to the sea world with their face powdered and lipstick. You wonder whether they're going to run. They're going to shake their things right on the sea world for somebody to see them and call them. Yeah. How can you do bodily exercise with face powder and lipstick? And foundation. You've gone to work with foundation. Jesus is your first foundation. You've gone to work with the first foundation. You have come back. Now you let your face relax a little bit. You're taking another foundation. You're going to the seawall to jog. You're not going to exercise. Yeah. You should look at them going to the seawall. Nice tights. Long tights. They're long tights. Yeah. And boots. Nike boots and socks and ting, 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 ting. A top. You are going to exercise. All right. It's good. The Bible says it profits, but little. But spiritual exercise has profit on here on earth. And after you die, even in the next world, that exercise also profits you over there. Which exercise will you do? The long tights or the spiritual exercise? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4, the Bible says, if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, he is spiritually exercising himself. If he that speaks in an unknown tongue, I'm not talking about people who have it and don't use it, Ms. Lee, it's not those who speak in tongues or who have the gift of the speaking in tongues and don't use it. It's not you I'm talking about. It's not you. The Bible is talking about people who exercise themselves in the speaking in tongues. So he that speaks, speaketh, is a continuous word, it's a present continuous, speaketh in an unknown tongue, edifies, builds himself up. So when you speak in tongues, it's just like you are wearing long tights and you've gone to the seawall and you are running. That's what, when you speak in tongues, that's what it is. It edifies, it builds you up. You want to grow? You read your Bible. You want to grow? You pray every day. Remember, the Bible didn't say that he that speaks in a known tongue. Unknown. Speaking in known tongues does not build your spirit. If you don't speak in tongues, you must desire to speak in tongues. So prayer, in other words, makes you grow. Prayer builds you up. Prayer edifies. Prayer has the ability. That's why Jesus said that, you know what? You must watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. Are you listening? Watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. What does it mean? It means that anybody who watches and prays is able to build themselves up to the extent that when temptation comes, they will see and avoid the temptation. Have you wondered why temptation comes? You are always taken by the temptation.
Oh, Lord.
Every Sunday you want to give your life to Christ. It's not like giving your life to Christ every Sunday. That's not the key. Yeah. Your song is, nobody's perfect. Nobody. That's your song all the time. You will not enter into temptation if you pray and you watch. Because your prayer now makes you strong. It builds you up, that your spiritual body is so healthy that temptation cannot affect it. Are you catching what I'm trying to say? It's like your body is in order. You know, you are eating healthy. You are exercising. You are, you know, you are doing everything correct. Sickness cannot come around you. But if you don't enter, if you don't pray, if you don't watch and you don't pray, temptation will come. Because the devil will come. The devil will come. Is it when the Satan knows that he can get you, he comes. Oh. When Satan knows that he can't get you, he won't waste his time with you. Satan, he's smart. Oh. Yeah, he's book smart. Not the other smart. Yeah. He knows who to oppress. He knows when he comes and oppress you. He said, you like cry. You're always crying. When you cry, he laughs. When you cry, he and the demons, they drink the cry, the tears, and they get excited. Yeah. Some Christians make Satan so happy because they cry a lot. You are like a cry baby. Any small thing, you are crying. Any something, you are crying. Anything, little thing, tears. Abba! Your face turn up. You are depressed. Come on. Satan knows that if he can make you depressed, he will come. He knows those who he cannot depress. So he will not waste his time on those people. May you be one of the people that Satan will notice and identify that this person does not react to stress or depression. And may he just, may he pass you by to somebody else. Watch and pray. The prayer in the watching is what delivers and leads you out of temptation. Does not even allow you to enter into temptation. You are tempted because we don't pray. I said we are tempted because we don't pray. And we don't watch. Hallelujah. Don't pray and watch. Amen. Jude 20. Jude 20. I'm closing. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, how do you build yourself in the Christian faith? By praying in the Holy Ghost. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It means that the more you do shalakala baba la baba la baba reka baba baba ki baba 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 reke bene beshika baba baba, the more you do that, the more you build yourself. If you don't build yourself, this world will not be kind to you. Even in Ghana, everybody knows that when you build your house, you got to do grills. We lock ourselves up like prisoners in our own houses because it is supposed to be a form of protection. How can you be a Christian and not speak in tongues for hours? Hey, you should not pray for less than 1 hour every day in tongues. 1 hour, 6 to 7 o'clock, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., 4:30 to 5:30, 4 to 5. You must engage. You must be somebody who is engaged in the speaking in tongues. 1 hour a day. You see, even if you think about it, you should sometimes walk to work. Pray. The reason why you walk is not because you like to walk, but that you want to spend some time praying. So, this morning, taxi driver, please, I'll see you after work. So I put on my pumps and then put on some t-shirt, like you're going to the seawall. When you go into the washroom or your workplace, then you change over. Get a bottle of water and do your rituals, and then you're okay. Yeah. You're going, you're spotting, you go, you have something in your ears, you plug your ears with some preaching, and as you're going, you're listening, maybe you're listening to Bishop, Bishop is shouting and he's praying, people see you like you're a mad person on the road, when they say amen, you say amen, and you look around, there. No. If you're going to be yourself like this lady, gentleman, always around, you can't be a strong Christian, though. I was telling some people, I said, I'm going to make you pray. You go out in the dew and pray. The first day I took my church outside all night praying, the people had things on their head. I said, what's going on? They said, dew. I said, hello, what is dew? I said, something called dew, it will make you sick. I said, what a shock. Nobody wants to, risk their life anyhow for no God. Dew is kill people. I said, dew is kill people. Me know about that. How dew is kill people. You should see them, cloth on their head, some with hats on their head. Ghana is a very nice place. It's dew. When I got saved, that is what we used to every Friday from midnight to 4 a.m. We are out there on the field speaking in tongues for 4 hours. He said, dew? Nobody tell no dew. What is dew? And we pray on a football field. Now, the prayer leader says, we have to hear you. You see, you can't sleep on a football field. If you like, after 1 hour, lie down on the field and sleep. It's okay. You will not sleep. It's not them prayers we pray here. That you go and sit on that thing at the back there. You're joking. You go on the football field. And you say, we are praying, we are binding the works of the devil. Ready, let's go. Mosquitoes will make you run. Mosquitoes will make you run. That's fancy prayer that people just pray. No, you must build yourself up. Now, if you adapt and understand and do these things that we are asking you to do, you see how your life will change. Sometimes, even after work, don't go and worry in this bus and people in the minibus and then choke up and things. Who, after work, going to the washroom? Many people do that and they go to the seawall right after that. It's true. You don't go to the seawall, change into whatever, and then plug your ears with preaching and walk from wherever you are to your house. It's even exercise. Shaka bala bala baba baba. Rebe se kebrende bakaya baba skabranda beke rebe ya baba. It gets to a point you'll be jumping. It's like some singing is coming. It's like you're excited. You see how your spirit is going to be built up. It's going to be built up. Let me show you a scripture before I close. The Bible says, if you fail in the day of adversity, wisdom of Daniel. Proverbs chapter what? And the Bible students. And the Bible students. Where are the Bible students? Nobody went to Bible school here? I see. Huh? Proverbs what? 17? No. 24:10? Okay. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. The Bible says, not me, the Bible says, if you faint, if you get blackout, if you get weary, if you get tired, in the day of challenges, in the day of battles, and that day will come how many millions of times in your life on earth? Unless you are not alive. Those who are dead, they are excited though. When you cry for people who are dead, you cry for yourself. It's fantastic how, especially when Christians die, we should have a party and say, hey, he's made it home. So when are we also going to go like that? Hey, that's what we must think about. When somebody died, no. You got to cry for yourself. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Cry for yourself. Because the adversities, they have ended in the life of such an individual. You and I have how many millions of adversities to encounter? The Bible says that if you get weak, if you get weary in the day when trials and troubles and issues and challenges come upon you, then your strength is small. If you enter into a physical fight and you are beaten, it means you don't have strength. You see, we grow up. When you are younger, you fight somehow, so it makes you test yourself a little bit. But when we grow, because we don't fight, you may easily be deceived that you are strong. Now sometimes you are young and you used to beat people, and then when you grow, or when you are grown, you think that you can still beat people. No, please. You have to be careful about that. You really have to be careful about that. You should check yourself, because when you're small, hey, you carry people and throw them down.
When you get a little older and you don't build yourself, when you throw your hand, you see how you fall by throwing your hand. The strength by which or with which you did that, you it takes you down. You see how you disgrace yourself. And then they kick you on the ground. And so when I get up, you see what I'll do to you. You underestimated your strength. Yeah. It has happened to me before. Yeah. I think my only fight in school, secondary school, there was this quiet guy. I don't know what caused whatever. And then, you know, we entered into something. It was like, we were going to fight. He's a quiet guy, you know. Doesn't mind, you know, mind people business like that. So, you know, when we were going to fight, so we're talking, I was talking. And when I went like that, then he gave me a little slap. He slapped me. That was the first time I can testify. I had evidence of Basidi. You know where you see, like, you see light. Yeah. I was so happy that my friends didn't allow us to fight. I was so happy. Because from that one slap, I realized that this is not a fight you fight. I was so happy. I said, you're lucky. You're lucky. I was happy. I was happy. I tell you. I was happy. Since then, no fight. Is it because some people grow up fighting? They fight every day. Every week there's a fight. You, there's no fight. You don't fight. That's not how you were brought up. If you go and meet people like that, hey, even after the fight, you meet somewhere else, they bring up the fight again. If you ever fight with someone like that, you won't be happy in your neighborhood. The fight does not end. The next day when they see you again, they want to fight. Hey. You regret that you went to. Yeah. But if you faint in that day of the fight, the Bible declares and judges. The clear statement is that your strength is small. You should not faint in the day of adversity because you are growing. I said you should not faint in the days of adversity because you are growing. Adversity is going to come. Hey! Do you know that in marriage counseling, one of the things we teach is when you lose your spouse? Yeah. In marriage counseling, we'll teach you when your husband or wife dies, how is it and what must happen? Because you never know. Who told you that you're going to marry and both of you are dying the same day? who said that? President Granger made, is this something like a law? Is it budget? Is it? No. When you marry, a time will come, one person will die. Hardly do people die the same day. It's only Romeo and Juliet who die on the same day. Is your name Romeo? Is your name Juliet? Leave Pascal, when you marry, you think you and your husband are going to die the same day? No. So what happens, God forbid, when he dies and you are left? You need to be counseled before you go and drink rat poison and you follow him. It's not everybody who their spouse died and they are sad. Some people, they are happy. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. You think we were born yesterday? Nah. It's, I am free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. Abba. 8 years of torture. Ask about it.
Come in. Well, it's true what I'm talking about, though.
Cry.
Sir. You see, they'll cry. The first few days, they'll cry. Don't mind, they are crying. And on that day, they have to cry so that people say that they are sad. But after that day, you see,
Yeah.
You must pray. Learn to speak in tongues everywhere. Learn to speak in tongues when you are bathing. When you are bathing, we sing. Instead of singing, speak in tongues. Many people do karaoke in the bathroom. Don't embarrass yourself. Just speak in tongues. Today,
well, I was getting ready to come to church, and my neighbor, I have a neighbor who was trying to, I think they were playing Whitney Houston's this song. This song, I said, it was something, in a shadow, if I fail, if I succeed, something, you know, oh, because of that song.
Come and hear Whitney Houston on one side and the neighbor on another level. I said to myself, this girl, the music, the song doesn't like you. You like the song, but the song doesn't like you. You're going to sing along with Whitney Houston? You better hum. It's better. So don't try. Just pray. When you are cooking, pray. When you are cleaning, pray. When you are washing, pray. Learn to speak in tongues. The speaking in tongues, ladies and gentlemen, builds you up so that your strength will not remain small, and therefore when the day of adversity comes, you will not fall. Many of us are not able to make decisions because your strength is small. When you come to a point where you have to make a decision, you cannot. It's a day of adversity because your strength is small. But if you learn to speak in tongues all the time, you realize that when something happens, oh, no problem. Okay, oh, no problem. He says he's going, oh, let him go. I'll be all right. Oh, no money, no problem. We'll fast and pray. Oh, no money, we'll drink water. Ha! If we don't have money, we are fasting and praying. Anytime we are fasting and praying, it's not because we wanted to fast, it's because we don't have money. We are praying. Oh, you will turn adversity into an adventure. I said you will turn adversity into adventure. May you turn your adversities into adventures in the name of Jesus. Then you realize that you become tougher and tougher and stronger. When you see a next adversity, this one, please bring another one. Bring a stronger one. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. My time is up. We are growing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, as God who gave the increase. Father, cause the word that has been sown, cause the watering that has taken place tonight, cause it to bring forth increase in the church, in the lives of your people. May we not be coming to church Sunday after Sunday, weekday after weekday, and not know the will, the plans, the purposes, and the word of God for our lives and for others. I come against any of resistance to the growth of your church in numbers and the growth of your people individually. May growth become something that happens normally, just as you have created it to be. May you grow on every side. May you grow in every area of our lives. Whatever the case is, may we be stronger in it. May we be stronger. And may we gain heights from victory unto victory and from glory unto glory. I give you praise. I give you glory. In Jesus' name. I mean, you're here tonight, you're not saved. You're not born again. If you die right now, you're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. If you're here like that,
while every eye is closed, every head is bowed, you want to lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. My right hand is up. Pastor, please. God bless you. I need Jesus in my life. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. You must grow. If your right hand is up, I want to pray with you. I want to ask you to kindly walk to me right here in the front. Come. Come. Clap for them as they come. 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 Come, my dear. Come. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come. There's a gentleman there. Where's Izzy coming? God bless you, sir. Wow. I belong to you. God bless you. Oh, lead me. Oh, lead me. If you want to join them, it's not too late. It's never too late to give your life and to give your heart to God. Walk to the front and I'll pray with you. Your love pour down. All right. If you are here, it means that you believe that Jesus died for you. The Bible says that you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth and you shall be saved. So while we close our eyes, I want the church to join in and I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From tonight, I believe with all my heart that I am saved by this prayer. I am born again by this prayer. Jesus is in my heart by this prayer. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for the blood that washes my sins away and for covering me now as your child. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.